Our Gospel reading this morning can be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9 and going to verse 17. That can be found on page 33 of the New Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 9. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? I'd like to thank you again for your welcome this weekend. It's been great to spend the whole weekend with you, getting to know you as people and getting to know Let's Slate a little better than I did before. I don't come from far away, I'm based in Oxford, but it's great to come and be with you this weekend. We've been focusing this weekend on what it means to live a Jesus-shaped life, and I'm going to be saying a bit more about that. It's a way of describing our discipleship, our Christian commitment to be shaped like Jesus and to live his life in our community, in our world. I wonder whether, like me, you enjoy watching some of those wonderful nature programs that we get on television at the moment. I've been enjoying a lot watching the Big Cats series. I don't know if some of you have seen that. Some wonderful photography in that program. And now there's a new one come along which is called Animals with Cameras. Some of you may have seen that as well. And a good standard that I go back to on DVD, because I bought it some years ago, is The Frozen Planet. And to see some of God's world in that way, sitting on my settee at home, is a wonderful experience. But nothing can compare with the reality of actually getting out there. It's quite different watching the world from our couch, but actually being out there in the reality of the world is something quite different. I've had the opportunity to do a little bit of that as my job has taken me traveling around the world. I've never been wandering around the frozen Antarctica yet. Maybe that treat is yet to come. But I have been in places where there have been big cats around, being a bit more careful than I am when I'm on my settee at home. But just to be out there is such a different experience. But it means stepping outside of our comfort zone. And sometimes that takes a bit of courage, a bit of determination. Think for a moment about your own comfort zone. It may not be about a place, or it may be. Maybe you are very comfortable here in Let's Slate. Maybe you're very comfortable in your own home. But it may be about relationships. I hope you find some comfort in your family or friendship relationships, in your community. Maybe stepping outside your comfort zone would be being in a situation where nobody speaks your language. I've been in that situation quite a few times, trying to make myself understood in sign language because nobody understood English. Or maybe stepping outside your comfort zone is about stepping outside your competencies, trying to do something you've never done before. Maybe you've had that experience of going on a pottery course and discovering that business of forming a pot on a wheel is not quite as simple as it looks, and you end up with clay all over the place. Or maybe stepping outside your comfort zone means entering a different spiritual tradition, going to a church which is quite different from yours, going on a retreat, going to a different spiritual tradition. Well, our gospel reading begins today with Jesus stepping outside of his comfort zone. We're told at the beginning of the reading we had from Mark's gospel, and we began to read at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. He came from Nazareth and went to Galilee. Jesus was already, by the standards of those days, when life expectancy was about 45, Jesus was well in his late Middle Ages. We reckon he was about 33. And he had a comfort zone. He had a family, a community in Nazareth. He had an occupation. He'd been a carpenter for many years. And he no doubt had his friendship networks in that community. But here God calls him to step out and go to Galilee. Galilee was sort of the rough end of Israel. I'm not going to take the same risk I took at 8 o'clock this morning of naming a place. But it's a bit like going from the comfort of Lechlade, where you know people, to some place where the culture is quite different. You don't know how people are going to respond. And Jesus took that step, stepped out of his comfort zone and went to Galilee to begin his ministry. And so if we are going to be Jesus-shaped, if we're going to allow our discipleship, our following Jesus, to take us to be more like Jesus, then that's one of the first steps we have to take. We have to move out of our comfort zone. And that takes courage. It might mean speaking to somebody in your community that you've never spoken to before, who's maybe from quite a different background to yourself, and you're not quite sure how they're going to respond. It might mean going to a different place. I was just talking with Jonathan before the service about an organization that's part of the network that I look after called SOMA, that takes people on ministry to very different parts of the world. Go for a month or 2 weeks to Uganda or Pakistan or Chile and be in ministry there for a time. That's stepping out of a comfort zone. And I want to challenge you this morning as you think about how your life is going to be Jesus-shaped, just to think about what is your comfort zone and what small steps can you take out of that to take the risk of doing something different, something in ministry within the Christian church. Then Jesus takes a second step. He comes for baptism. Now, of all the people that have ever lived in this world, the person that least needed baptism was Jesus himself. Baptism is about repentance, about turning from sin, about making a new start. Jesus, the sinless one, in a sense, didn't need baptism. And yet he comes to his cousin, John, at the River Jordan. And in other Gospels we read there was actually a discussion between them. John didn't see that Jesus needed to be baptized. But Jesus says, yes, I want to come. I want to submit. I want to go through this submission in the water, this burial and rising again, to show that I am in submission to the Father. I'm in obedience to the Father. And that's another step that we need to take if we're going to be Jesus-shaped. We need to put aside our pride, our feelings of self-sufficiency, our feelings of competency, that we know what it's about. We know how to do church. We know how to do our religion. We need to come before God and say, I submit to you. I hand over each aspect of my life. I want to be obedient to you. And then the third step follows, not an action of Jesus, but an action of God. God the Father, his Father, endorses his ministry, endorses his Son. We read that Jesus saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. What an endorsement. Some of us feel that we are okay about being in ministry because we're wearing a dog collar, or because we've got a degree from a university, or because a bishop gave us a license to be in ministry. They're all endorsements, and they're all valid. But nothing like the endorsement of God himself, saying, you are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you. And of course, that endorsement was not restricted to Jesus himself. God adopts each one of you here in this church this morning as his daughter, as his son. We are endorsed in ministry. Maybe not so obviously by the bishop, or even maybe by your rector, but by God himself. God says, you are my daughter. You are my son. I'm pleased with you. I rejoice in you. I want to see you in ministry. If we're going to be Jesus-shaped, we need to take on board, to receive that endorsement and to rejoice in it. But then things turn more difficult. Driven by the Spirit, we're told, led by the Spirit, Jesus goes out into the wilderness. This was a physical wilderness that he went into. It was a place of struggle, a place where it's difficult to find food, where it's difficult to protect yourself from the sun during the day and the cold during the night. We too will at times, seasons in our lives, find ourselves taken into the wilderness. It may be the wilderness of the breakdown of a relationship. It might be the wilderness of an illness. It might be the wilderness of being without work and employment. There are many wildernesses that we find ourselves in our lives. But we must not be crushed by that wilderness. Jesus was not crushed. Jesus confronted the struggle and the evil, the devil himself, in that wilderness. And that was all a part of his preparation for ministry. When we're facing sickness, when we're facing relationship problems, that's not a distraction from ministry. That is a part of building our character, of strengthening us, giving us that courage to face ministry. And there will be many things that we learn in the wilderness that we can take with us into ministry as we minister to others later on. Jesus comes out of that wilderness with good news to share. We read that after he's been tempted by the devil and ministered to by angels, Jesus now goes back into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Interesting, the three things that he has to say. The time is fulfilled. Jesus spoke contextually to those he was ministering to. This was the Jewish people. These were the people that were constantly waiting, as many Jews are still today, for the coming of the Messiah. They are people for whom expectation and waiting is a central part of their faith. And Jesus speaks directly into that. No more waiting. No more expectation. The time is fulfilled. What you've been waiting for, the coming of a Messiah, the reign of God, it's here today. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then he ends with that pointer to the way forward. Repent and believe the good news. Each of us has good news to share. May come out of the wilderness experience, may come out of our sense of being adopted as a son, a daughter of God. All that God has poured into our lives needs to spill out as we share the gospel with others. Sometimes I get worried because I go to churches and I see that they're having a training course on evangelism and a program of evangelism. Well, of course, that's all a good thing, but what worries me about it is that it's become a program. Evangelism, sharing the good news of God, is not a program. It's life. It should be spilling naturally out of our life. As we live a Jesus-shaped life, we will have good news to share. We won't have to go on a training course, although I'm not decrying those courses are helpful, give us some ways of doing things. But the basic sharing of the good news of the gospel spills out naturally from our life with God, our Jesus-shaped life. And then finally, Jesus does one other thing. Immediately he has begun to share the good news, to take up his ministry, to speak to the people in the community. What does he do? He calls Simon and Andrew and later James and John and Levi and all the others that he calls to be with him, to be part of his team. Jesus immediately recognizes that the mission of God is always about teamwork, collaboration, being together. To put a theological twist on this, we understand the mission of God to be the mission of three people, the mission of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God reaches out to us in that way, as three persons, as God the Father, as God the Son, as the Holy Spirit. It's a collaborative mission. And Jesus mirrors that in his life as he calls a team together, 12. I think it was probably more like 24. I think there were as many women as there were men engaged in his ministry, sharing with him. Martha and Mary and others we have mentioned in the scriptures. And that's part of our being Jesus-shaped. Jesus is not shaping you individually, as George or Chloe or whatever your name is. He's forming you as a community. It's a community in this parish. As a community of Jesus-shaped people who will go out and engage in ministry, who will go through the wilderness together, who will strengthen one another in the wilderness, who remind each other that you are the sons and daughters of God, that you are endorsed by him. And who will give each other the courage to step out of your comfort zone to proclaim the good news of Jesus. You need to be together. You need to be that team that strengthens each other. I've spent quite a number of years working alongside Orthodox Christians. And one of the things that I appreciate about the Orthodox Church is it's a less cerebral faith than we sometimes have in the Anglican world. They use their bodies, they use iconography, pictures, they use music in all sorts of ways to explore their faith. And so I'm going to take a risk as I finish my sermon tonight and just give you the use of your body to remember some of the things that we have thought about this morning. But before I do that, I'd just like to say that at the end of the service, I'll be at the back. We've been talking this weekend about 10 trends in mission. I have a booklet there, and I'd love to give you one of those as you leave. There's also a card to leave your name and address with me if you'd like to receive more information about what Faith to Share, the network of missionaries that I work with, is doing around the world. So do collect one of those from me at the back. Let me take this risk. If you're able, would you like to stand? Don't often get to move around during sermons, do you? But let's try this. We're going to use our bodies to express these six aspects of Jesus' ministry that we are going to embrace as we try to be Jesus-shaped in our ministry. So we are going to take, it's going to be difficult in your pews, but you can do it, I'm sure. We're going to take a step out of your comfort zone. So take a step forward. We are going to bow in submission to God. We are going to raise our arms as we appreciate God's endorsement of us as sons and daughters. We are going to brace ourselves against the wilderness and the struggles of life. And then we are going to offer to the world the good news of Jesus Christ. And then we are going to join with our team and know that we are a community of God. Well done. Let's just, now you've learnt it, let's do it one more time so you remember it. Step out of your comfort zone. Bow in submission to God. Receive the endorsement of the Father. Brace against the struggles of this world. Share the good news with those around you. And be strengthened and rejoice in the team that you are part of in ministry in this place. Amen. Thank you.